This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Prostitution is legal in Canada, while soliciting is not, exemplifying the hypocrisy present in our society's responses to it, according to John Lohman, a professor at Simon Fraser University and a prostitution policy expert. Professor Lohman was an expert witness at the Picton Inquiry, which is examining the disappearance of women from Vancouver's downtown east side. Dr. Lohman has proposed four goals in a decriminalization process. We're joined on the phone by John Lohman.
Welcome to People First Radio, Dr. Lohman.
Good day.
The Picton Inquiry is investigating the failure of Vancouver police and RCMP to stop or arrest serial killer Robert Picton as he murdered sex workers from the downtown east side in the late 1990s and early 2000s. You were an expert witness for the inquiry, and you said that policing approaches over the years have turned women in sex work into easy targets. Tell us more about the policing of prostitution in this country.
Well, what we've seen over the last 30 years in Vancouver is, first of all, police focusing on off-street prostitution locations, which had the effect of putting prostitution on the street. This was in the 1970s, particularly the closure of one penthouse cabaret where prostitutes and clients used to meet. And then what you saw was an expansion of street prostitution as a result of the effort against the off-street prostitution trade. What you then had is police efforts pushing prostitution around Vancouver to all sorts of different areas as they tried to get it under control. And because of the complaints of people in residential areas when street prostitution moved into those areas. And so what you gradually had was police pushing prostitution into non-residential areas, pushing it back into the downtown east side, and then pushing it north of Hastings Street into a largely commercial area, which is where the prostitution stroll has been since the early 1990s. And it's that area, this very dark commercial area where prostitutes were sort of corralled, that it appears that Picton picked up most of his victims. So public propriety and property values, in many ways, were placed above the safety and lives of people involved in prostitution. Of course, they are involved in illegal activities, but we have a problem with our law because it's not clear what it's trying to achieve. Is prostitution legal or illegal? The actual act is legal, so if that's the case, why don't we decide where and under what circumstances it can occur, or if we think that prostitution is so harmful, then criminalize it. But don't do what we're doing now, which is, well, we really don't know what we're doing now.
How would you describe, then, the Canadian legal and policy approaches to dealing with prostitution? How can you give us a nutshell of what this country has done to try to deal with this?
Well, it's one of the most wonderful examples that you can have of political cowardice. What you have is a series of laws developed at the turn of the 19th and 20th century which relate to prostitution. You can't have a place where prostitution occurs on a regular basis. You can't help other people involved in their prostitution. You can't procure people. So in other words, you can't help prostitutes get clients. You can't live on the avails of prostitution of another person. And yet prostitution itself is legal. So we've had a series of government reports, commissions, committees, task forces looking at prostitution law since 1985, when the Fraser Committee, which was convened at that time to deal with the street prostitution problem and recommend law reform, they said either criminalize prostitution or decide where it should occur. The government of the day did not do that. It just changed the street prostitution law. We've had a series of those task forces and commissions ever since. Every single one has said they've agreed on one count, and that is that our current laws are unacceptable. But politicians don't want to go near the issue because they feel it may lose them more votes then it gains them. So we have what everybody agrees is an unacceptable situation when it comes to the law without the political will to solve it. In my opinion, the consequence of that has been the murder of 300 women involved in street prostitution in Canada over the last 25 to 30 years.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
Dr. John Lohman contends that to reduce the harms associated with prostitution to all concerned, Canadians and their governments urgently need to cut the hypocrisy and work out what we want prostitution law and social policy to accomplish. He has proposed four goals in a Canadian-made decriminalization process. First, prevention of sexual procurement of children and youth. Second, protection of prostitutes from pimp coercion and customer violence. Third, encouragement of prostitute self-employment, cooperatives, or non-profit management. And fourth, protection of bystanders and of neighborhoods from a nuisance. We're joined on the phone by John Lohman.
Dr. Lohman asked to just share the four goals that you've proposed as steps in a prostitution-related decriminalization process for Canadians to engage in. Tell us a bit more about each one of those steps.
But what we have to do, one way or another, is try and find ways to make sure that if prostitution is going to occur, it is by consent. Now, there's a considerable amount of debate about what consent means. You have a particular contingency within modern feminism that wants to criminalize the sale of sex and the purchase of sex, but not the sale of sex, arguing that prostitution is violence against women and should be should be abolished. And you've got that kind of legislation in Sweden and several other countries. You also have a sort of mainly Christian-based argument that prostitution is immoral, harmful, and that both the buying and selling of sex should be legal. But for me, the question is the limit of state power. Should the government be able to tell people that if they're going to have sex with other people, it must be for free, which is essentially what criminalizing the sale of sex would do. If you have the sale of sex legal, how can it be logical to make the buying of sex, when the person offering is doing it without any coercion, how can you make the buying of sex illegal? It essentially treats the women involved in prostitution as the equivalent of children. In my experience over 30 years, they're not. So we need to figure out how to keep kids out, just like we stop them from drinking, driving, and even having sex. So we need to protect children from exploitation. We do need to deal with the nuisances and harms associated with prostitution in residential areas. I mean, it would be nice to get it off the street. We need to make sure that trafficking is dealt with, trafficking of human beings, including prostitution. We need to do all of those kinds of things. But some of our most important initiatives aren't about the law. They're about dealing with the women who are involved in prostitution as a means of survival because of drug addiction or because of poverty or because of the effects of colonization on Aboriginal peoples. It doesn't matter what we do with the laws. It won't answer those kinds of issues for those people. We need to figure out something far more profound in terms of dealing with poverty, colonization on Aboriginal peoples, addiction. So there's a whole lot of social policies that need to be instituted in combination with law reform.
What is being revealed by the Picton inquiry, or another way of posing that question, what has come out of that inquiry thus far that is of use in moving forward in with this whole situation?
Well, it speaks volumes about the attitudes of senior police officials in both the Vancouver Police Department and the RCMP. The Vancouver Police Department, in the work of, now Deputy Chief Doug Lepard, has shown all sorts of problems with the way that VPD dealt with the inquiry. They have apologized to the victims' families. In contrast, the RCMP shows absolutely no sign of recognizing the problems that occurred when the Picton inquiry landed on its desk. I mean, the truth of it is, we already knew a lot of the issues that are coming out in the inquiry. There's a lot more coming out now. But the VPD and the RCMP miserably failed these women. I mean, the idea that VPD stopped Kim Rossmo, who was then a detective inspector, from putting out a warning that there was a serial killer on the loose, just like they did in Ottawa just before Christmas. The idea that they disallowed that speaks volumes about attitudes to women involved in prostitution. And it's led to what can only be described as a national disgrace.
Now, today's date, I'm reading something that I found on the CBC website, January 19th, 2012. And this is called Sex Trade Workers Make Their Case in Top Court. And, of course, this is the Downtown Eastside Sex Workers United Against Violence Society and the federal government. They've been embroiled in legal arguments since 2007. I'm quoting from Katrina Pacey, who's a lawyer for the group. And this is what she says, and this is in the CBC article. As far as I can tell, the federal government seems intent on maintaining Canada's prostitution laws despite the incredible violence and rights violations that they create, she said. And I'm wondering, in our last few moments here, what are your thoughts on the potential for change and also on this particular court case?
Well, Pivot's court case, Katrina Pacey is one of the Pivot lawyers leading this case. And here we are, 5 years into the process. Basically, the Crown's done everything it can to do to stall that case. The issue was the standing of the particular organization that Pivot is representing. But it's just one of two charter challenges. The other one that's going on is in Ontario, Bedford versus Canada, where the Ontario Superior Court struck down several prostitution laws, the communicating law, the boarding house laws, and the living on the avails laws, as being unconstitutional. The Crown is now appealing that to the Ontario Court of Appeal. If it loses that case, it will go to the Supreme Court of Canada. We have a government that is arguing via these cases that our current laws on prostitution need to be kept as they are. I am amazed that they are doing that, because they are basically ignoring logic and evidence in the process of the kinds of arguments that they are making in court, and at points actually come down to blaming women involved in prostitution to what is happening to them. I'm almost speechless at some of the arguments that they've pitched in these cases. Truly bizarre.
Dr. John Lohman, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciated it.
And thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Lohman is a criminology professor at Simon Fraser University and a Canadian authority on prostitution. Through his work, Dr. Lohman has challenged attitudes and understandings held by the general public, justice agencies, and politicians. He maintains a webpage with current research and information related to prostitution law and social policy. Just Google John Lohman's prostitution research page to find it.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.